Welcome to this third in our series of podcasts that accompany the Cyber and CFO report that was produced jointly by ACCA, CAANZ, Optus Macquarie University's Cyber Security Hub, and their sponsors, Optus. My name is Clive Webb, and I'm a Senior Insights Manager here at ACCA and one of the authors of the report. For this third podcast, I'm joined by Paul Diamond. Paul is a Senior Technology and Risk Director with significant experience and a sustained record of success in the public and private sectors, including over 10 years as a computer auditor in the public sector. He's worked for a large number of organisations, including his own business, with an extensive background in delivering complex services, managing operations, sales, and strategic change across all levels of an organisation. And Paul's passion for that relationship between IT and technology and the business is something that I'm sure he'll bring out in this podcast. Most recently, he was the managing director for a tech startup who were developing a network intrusion cybersecurity software system. So, Paul, is cybersecurity really a broad issue? Because our survey suggests that most of the accountants still see it as somebody else's problem.
I think cyber is a broad issue 100%. But I think ICT is a broad issue. And in many of my clients, I don't see the CIO or whoever happens to be in charge of IT, what their brand is, they are not always on that board. And I think that's a real problem for a lot of companies and public sector organisations.
So what makes it that important an issue that needs that gravitas?
Well, I think when you take the private sector and you've got people like BA, a few years ago BlackBerry, there's been so many occasions. The reputational issue when they have a cyber attack, the damage to their brand, the drop in value to their intellectual property, their overall organisational value is damaged. Sometimes long-term, sometimes very short-term, but it's expensive. And actually, even in the public sector, when they have those problems, then what it really means is they lose budget for frontline services, which I think for all of us, when you look at the costs of the NHS and other parts of the public sector, that's pretty important when they lose a chunk of money for no good reason because they haven't been looking at areas like cyber in the way they should do.
So it's that failure to understand the actual implications of the costs of this that really the finance community needs to get on top of.
Absolutely, because, I mean, I would suggest now that probably a good 95% of your workforce can do nothing in their day if they don't have their laptop and their printer. So when you look at that, if you're suddenly hit by a cyber attack and you can't work, what is your workforce doing? Because people do absolutely 100% rely on it. So you bring down the IT, that's pretty drastic, but the remediation costs, which the finance people then have to find, are often pretty large.
And do organisations really sort of ignore that need to plan that remediation? I mean, the survey responses from our members and sort of suggested, yeah, we disaster recovery plans, okay, remediation, don't understand.
I think the sad thing for me is those two things absolutely go hand in hand. So whether it's business continuity, whether it's disaster recovery, whether it's remediation, if you're going to have a loss of service for whatever reason, whether it's terrorism, whether it's cyber, or it's a flood, whatever that is, you have to have some common sense, workable, pragmatic plans in place. They don't have to be gold brick. They don't have to be multi-million pound service providers providing it for you. But you have to have something simple that works. And it might be that in the short term, if you have a cyber attack, you just need to get, say, 30% of your business back up and running, but very quickly. Therefore, you need to understand what that 30% really means. And saying to the other guys, look, you've got 3 days off, but which is perhaps a good message. But bottom line is you've got to have those bits that you really need to run your business back up and running quickly.
So why do organisations ignore it? Is it just that it's in the too difficult box?
I think, quite frankly, there's probably two things. One is, for whatever reason, they don't see it as top priority. And I think the other side of it is, I think people see it as boring. Boring and non-value. When you talk to people at that sort of board level, the two words in IT that they seem to get very excited about now are probably cloud and digital. What they understand by that might be totally different things, but they're the words that are thrown about. But when you start talking about cyber, A, it's seen as a technical issue, but I think when you then say, well, we need to do something about it in terms of a business continuity arrangement, a remediation plan, it's just uninteresting and unexciting, and I think they just don't see the need to put some budget aside to do that sensibly and properly. But it doesn't have to be a massively expensive program. I think some simple common sense things are what is really needed.
We talk about cloud, Internet of Things. How much do these sort of new technologies change the nature of the cyber attack? We've gone away from that virus, you know, point. The virus is still there, but we've gone away from that into something far broader and far more sophisticated. There's a feeling, I think, that comes from our report that accountants and the finance community don't want to understand it because it keeps changing and evolving. Yeah. Is that...
I have some sympathy for that. I mean, the finance person does have a very difficult job to do anyway, let alone having to worry about some of these things. And there will always be new technical ways of breaking into your system. Not least because, whether we like it or not, that people will always open emails that they shouldn't do. They will always take calls from people they shouldn't and then act on them. It's just human nature. But you look more recently in relation to, and I'm going to pronounce this awfully wrong, Huawei. I mean, their ability through a camera in your phone or your TV to see what you're doing, I personally find that quite disconcerting. But that technology is there, and it needs to be managed and controlled. But then the other side of that is, you look at some simple things, again, people, physical security controls. I was at a client not long ago, big construction organisation. Their physical security was amazingly good. But when the senior exec walked in, or a female walked in and asked to use the facilities, they just breezed through. No control, no follow-up, they just went through and were never seen again. And I know from my recent experience of, like, you go into somewhere because you need to see somebody, quite often you don't have to do that much to get past their very complex security. And then you're in. You can do whatever you like.
And we leave laptops on and we leave resources there, and it's easy prey.
It is, and I think sometimes organisations that make these incredibly complicated passwords for you to use, which you're never going to remember, what are you going to do? Well, you are going to write it down. And often on that yellow sticky and put it on your laptop. You will. It's human nature.
So we've got to think more pragmatically about how we cope with things like authentication and how we actually trust people to be who they say they are.
Absolutely. And I think it comes back to me on many occasions, some pragmatic common sense. Yes, if the password is 12345, well, that's pretty ridiculous. But actually ensuring people change their passwords on a frequent basis and have, you know, a simple list of passwords that you can't use is not difficult, really. And then people will change them every, say, 12 weeks, and that's far more secure than having something that somebody's going to write down.
So we are our own worst enemies.
I think we are. I absolutely think we are.
But do things like bring your own device and other technologies change that scenario, or is it just more of the same, more of that pragmatism?
I think it's more of the same, really. I think whether you bring your own device, to be honest, if somebody's going to bring their device, then I think the ICT folk should have some controls over that and make sure that they know it's being added to the network, and they know it's got controls around it that any other device would have. I think that's sensible and reasonable, because people do want to use their own devices. But I think the thing that probably more worrying than me, actually, is, again, it's seen as quite a boring thing, this infrastructure management. When people don't know what they've got, where it is, how much it costs, or whether it's being used, how on earth can you properly manage A, cyber, but B, your costs? Mm-hmm. And to me, I think that's something the finance folk should really pick up and work with the CIO to say, how do we work together to address this issue, which would really resolve a lot of the cyber issues, but it would also help on costs.
In this connected world, we talk about auditing supply chain. In the report, we get a message that some people get it and a lot of people don't. In terms of the need to do that, but also the standards that people can apply, the resources that are out there, what is it that people should be looking to use as bodies of knowledge, approaches to dealing with these sorts of things?
I think there are many places you could look to gain information around managing your supply chain. I mean, there's the ISO 27001s. There's you can Google and get an awful lot of help from people. But I think actually you should start the sensible housekeeping at home, which is when you're looking to procure something, ask the simple, straightforward questions in terms of is cheapest best. And I think sometimes people, the procurement people, just look at something and go, well, we'll just buy that because it's a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. But actually, you need to look at how, if that particular thing you're buying is critical to your business, then how well are they managing their end of their business? Because if they fall over and can't supply you, well, you're in a really bad mm-hmm. place. So I think sometimes it's a question of saying to people, having an adult conversation and saying, look, we need to buy this from you. How do you address these sorts of issues? And trying to make sure you deal with somebody who isn't the sales guy, who's just going to get the commission, who would pretty much say anything.
But it's that statement to buyer beware, isn't it? If it is as cheap as chips, it is going to be cheap.
Yeah.
And it's not going to have that integrity, which, if it's fundamental to your business, your supply chain,
absolutely.
You're not managing the risk appropriately.
No, absolutely. And people do need to make a margin.
Mm.
Let's be sensible about this. Mm. Therefore, if you hammer somebody on cost, you kind of get what you pay for sometimes.
But do go to the bodies of knowledge out there. Do use them as practical resources.
Absolutely. There's an awful lot of information out on that internet for nothing.
Mm.
So have a look at that sensible stuff and then pull out the key. And I always think the top three things. What are the top three things that are telling me off the four sites I've looked at? And nine out of ten times, they're the ones that you really need to look at. Mm. And if you do need to get some external advice, think about who you need to get and are they really the experts that can help you?
Mm. So how would you go about finding the outlet expert to help you? What criteria do you use?
I think for me, it's pretty boring stuff, but it's around putting a sort of half-page spec together and saying, this is what I'm really looking for. Mm-hmm. Can you help me solve this problem at a reasonable cost? So I don't want a great big thick fat report on it. I want somebody to give me some sensible, pragmatic advice that's going to solve my problem.
And you need to make sure you've bought the right level of technical knowledge to support that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes a key thing on that is not being afraid to ask the silly questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because half the time when you ask that silly question, it's a question everybody was going to ask. And I think sometimes it's pretty interesting to see the guy on the other side or the lady on the other side of the fence doesn't actually know the answer to it. They've just flooded you with a whole load of technical gobbledygook, which they don't understand either.
Mm.
And I think that's fascinating when you're left in that position.
Sound advice then.
Mm, thank you.
One key message to the listeners of this podcast, what should a finance community be doing about cyber risk?
I think they should be sitting down with their CIO counterpart and having an open conversation about how should they together pull together a program to manage their overall infrastructure, both the hardware and the software and the other bits and pieces, to know where it is, how much it costs, and who's using it. And I'll give you an example of why. So it's a major hardware supplier that I did a review on a few years ago, who partway through the program, we pointed out to them that if they carried on with their rationalization program, they were going to switch off their payroll system, which was sitting in Brazil, which they had no idea that that's where it was. Mm. Now, to me, I kind of think that's a to me that's a really important system, and therefore I was astonished they didn't even know that's where it was.
Mm. So it's about knowing your systems.
I think so.
Your architecture, what is connected to your network, and taking something which is a differentiator for an organisation seriously.
Absolutely.
Paul, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
So thank you very much for those views, and thank you to all of you who've listened to this podcast. If you'd like to read the report, you can download a copy from www.accaglobal.com/cyber-CFO. Or, of course, you can download it from ACCA's Professional Insights app. Thank you very much and goodbye.